May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Is there anything more forlorn in the world than a lost and found box? It's always such a sad collection of items. Things you know are necessary to someone's happiness or well-being. A pair of glasses, an umbrella on a rainy day, one of those little pill organizers that has a week's worth of daily medications. Compare that sad sight to the thrill of joy when you find something that's been lost, something you've been looking for high and low, desperate to find it. I once lost my wedding ring for several days. Just imagine, I looked for it everywhere. As a matter of fact, there were some places I looked multiple times, even though I knew it wasn't there, because I was so desperate to find it. Then I went to do a load of laundry, and there it was in the bottom of the washing machine. My heart was so filled with joy that I couldn't contain it. I had to call Will and the boys in, and we had an impromptu little dance party right there to celebrate in the laundry room. That's the kind of celebration that Jesus is talking about in these two parables that we have today. It's been said that parables begin in the world we know and take us into the world that is even now breaking through from the kingdom of heaven. These two parables that we have today do start in the world that we know. We have the shepherd whose charge has wandered off into potential peril, the woman who has lost a tenth of her worldly resources. The pull of these parables on our hearts is the commitment that the seekers have to keep searching until they find what has been lost. The seekers in these parables are the actors. They are the subjects of the verbs. The shepherd leaves the other sheep, goes after the one that is lost, finds it, places it on his shoulders, rejoices, and calls all his friends together to celebrate. Likewise, the woman lights a lamp, sweeps the house, searches carefully until she finds that precious coin, and she too calls together all her friends and neighbors for a celebration. Both of these parables connect that celebration on earth with the celebration in heaven. The celebration, that joy of finding what is lost, is connected with the divine perspective. We get a hint of why the seeking and the finding matter. God seeks relationship and reconciliation. God initiates the process of repentance that brings us safely back into right relationship with God and each other. Now, these two parables are put together and placed in the context of those who sought out Jesus to hear him. It's worth pointing out that the very last words of the previous chapter in Luke's gospel are, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And then boom, the very next thing we read is, "All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus." It's always good to pay attention to who's listening and who's not when Jesus starts preaching. And the Pharisees and scribes were murmuring and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Can't you just hear the Pharisees grumbling about what a waste of time that is? I mean, what's to gain from that? That's when Jesus leads us from our familiar world into a world where everyone matters enough to drop everything to take the time to seek and find and to claim that lost one as a beloved child of God. I wonder, how many of y'all know one righteous person who has no need of repentance? Let alone 99? I don't either. But righteous or not, we all matter to God so much that we can all count on God coming to find us, carry us home, keep us safe. It doesn't matter if we are old or young, male or female, black or white, gay, straight, transgendered, conservative, liberal, Clemson Tiger, or South Carolina Gamecock. We all can count on God to come and find us. Jesus says, I come not for the righteous, but for sinners. My fellow sinners, this is good news. Jesus came for us. Jesus left the truly righteous and came looking for each one of us. Now, we, all of us, at some point in our lives, are some kind of lost, right? I know there have been times when I wandered around trying to figure out where I belonged, how to get there, and what I was supposed to do when I got there. And it has felt sometimes, and we're talking about years, it has felt that time wandering around in confusion and disorientation, lacking a sense of purpose or direction, was time wasted, time I'll never get back. There was a sense of abandonment in those times that led to overwhelming grief and anger. Why is this happening to me? Where is God in all of this? So you can see how it might be downright dangerous to jump to an easy interpretation or application of these parables. In the world that is familiar to us, which is where we begin in any parable, being lost like that leaves us perhaps feeling abandoned by God. And there will always be people stuck in that place of being lost and confused. I'm wondering where God is in all of that. And if we jump to easy answers, we risk leaving them stuck there or being stuck there ourselves. The point of these parables is that God is always seeking the way in to find us, no matter how well we hide from God, no matter how far we wander. The time that we spend in that place between the familiar world of lostness and the heavenly celebration of foundness, that is time for us to stop wandering and to spend time rethinking the meaning of being lost, discovering the value of being found. That's the part of our salvation that is up to us. Jesus took care of the rest. But we need to take that time to experience repentance, conversion, a new direction that leads us into that new world where even now God's mercy and grace are breaking through. God's mercy is unrelenting, like that woman who swept and swept and swept and swept until she found that precious coin. God will look for us lost ones without ceasing and in the most unlikely places and when we are least expecting it. I have a thought about this unrelenting mercy of God that I'd like to share with you. It seems to me that unrelenting mercy can only be experienced by those who are willing to celebrate God's mercy for others. Think about that for a moment. God's unrelenting mercy can only be fully experienced by those who are able to celebrate God's mercy for others. Jesus says that joy, that real, what is good, the true, the beautiful, is waiting to break out. And I have this image that God is just looking for a reason to throw a party. The angel band is tuned, warmed up, and ready to take requests. Catherine of Siena says, "It's heaven all the way to heaven." That means that we can join the party right now. We just have to look around for what is real, what is true, what is good, what is beautiful in this world, particularly what is real and true and good and beautiful in the people around us. We can choose heaven now and join with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, because what has been lost is found. But you know what? There are still those who are stuck in the lost and found box, still wondering where God is in all of this. How will you show that lost sheep that the shepherd is looking, that God's mercy is right here, waiting to pick us up and carry us home? I want you to think about that this week. How can you show someone who is feeling lost that the shepherd is looking for them? Can you celebrate God's mercy for someone else who is lost? Because if you can, there is a party just waiting to break out, and we are all invited. Let's make sure that nobody gets left out.